Well, we've been preaching through the parables of Matthew chapter 13, and these are the parables of the kingdom. And we're in verse 44 today, and it is the parable of the hidden treasure, the mystery of the hidden treasure. So, Matthew 13:44 says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you guide us in this message this morning as we study this passage, that you open our hearts to understand it. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the common interpretation of this passage is just simply wrong. I'll just say it plainly. So many people interpret this passage the wrong way. And why does that happen? I think it happens because Jesus used parables not only to reveal the truth, but to conceal the truth. And he revealed the truth to those who were ready for it, and he concealed the truth to those who were not open to it. So over the years, I've had many people try to correct me concerning my interpretation of these parables. Let me assure you that it's not my interpretation. That the interpretation that I bring of these parables, I'm not the first one who came up with it. Neither am I the only one that still teaches it. So just so you know, my interpretation may be different from what you've heard. The interpretation I'll give you of this parable this morning is not the common interpretation, but I do believe it is the correct interpretation, and I'll share with you why as we go further. So, I generally back up what I believe, my interpretation of Scripture, by comparing Scripture with Scripture, and I'll do that for you this morning as well. And when I look at this passage, we have several questions that jump out at us. First of all, who is the man? Second of all, what is the field? And third, and perhaps most importantly, what is the treasure? Who or what is the treasure? The hidden treasure. So, many say that salvation is the treasure, and the man who is seeking salvation is a sinner, and that the sinner sells all that he has in order to receive salvation. I find a ton of problems with that idea. First of all, we don't sell everything we have in order to buy Jesus. I don't know how many of you think that's what you did, but if that's what you think you did, then you're wrong. We're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith. Who was it that really gave up everything in order for salvation to go through? Jesus did. Right. Correct. So in the parable, the man sells all that he has to purchase the field. Obviously, this doesn't send the right message about salvation by grace. It's more like salvation by works, if the treasure is the gospel. And there are many people trying to buy the gospel today. There are many people who are trying to buy salvation today. There are many people who try to tell you that you have to work your way into heaven today. But that goes contrary to the Word of God and the Scripture. Those who try to buy their way into heaven, they'll find out that it will never work. Second of all, Jesus is not a hidden treasure. Far from it. He's the most prominent, the best known personality in the history of the world. He is not hidden. The world may blaspheme him. They may hate him and reject him. But one thing the world cannot do is ignore him. When people want to curse God, who do they talk about? What's the name that they use when they curse God? They don't mention Allah. They don't mention Buddha. They don't mention Krishna. Jesus is the first name on anyone's mind when thinking of God. Jesus. He's not a hidden treasure. He's not hiding. He doesn't want to be difficult to find. And he's not. Jesus wants people to be saved more than they want to be saved. So this parable is not a picture of a sinner finding Jesus and selling all to get him, which is the common interpretation of this passage. If we follow the context of the other parables, for instance, the sower and the seed, what is the field in the sower and the seed? It's the world. And who is the man in the parable of the sower and the seed? It's Jesus. So if we follow the context of this parable, we find that the man must be Jesus, who finds the hidden treasure in the field, and the field is the world. So, point number one, I'm just going to blurt it out. Israel is God's treasure. Israel is God's treasure. The treasure is God's chosen people, the nation of Israel. The purpose of this parable is to show God's working with his chosen people. So in Psalm 134 or 135 verse 4, it says, "For the Lord hath chosen Jacob," whose other name is Israel, "unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure." God chose Israel to be his peculiar treasure. So it shouldn't surprise anybody when Jesus is talking about a treasure in the Gospels that he's referring to the nation of Israel. God didn't choose Israel because they were better. Far from it. He didn't choose Israel because they were more moral. They were not. God didn't choose Israel because they were more obedient. They weren't. God chose Israel simply because he wanted to. In his sovereignty, he chose them. It was his sovereign choice to choose them as his own peculiar treasure. And in doing so, God has placed his blessing on Israel, on the Jews. Look at Romans 9 in the New Testament, the epistle of Paul to the book, to the church at Rome. Romans 9, verse 4. "Who are Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption?" God has made them his adopted family, you see. Pertaineth to adoption. "And the glory." Tell me any other nation or people that has ever been led by a cloud of glory. None. "And the covenants." We're still in Romans 9, verse 4. God's promises came first to Israel. as a nation. Unconditional promises that God made to this treasure. And the giving of the law. There were 40 people who wrote these 66 books. 40 authors, all of them Jews. God had the Jewish people write this book for us, for this world. And the service of God, we're still in Romans 9:4. We're talking about the leadership of the worship in the Old Testament temple. The Jews did it. And the promises. Verse 5, Romans 9, verse 5. Whose are the fathers? And of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. So not only are the Jews God's chosen people, they are God's treasure. We go back to Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, and we find they are his covenant people. It says, I will make of thee a great nation, speaking to Abraham, the father of the Jews. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Through the Jews, all families of the earth would be blessed. They're his treasure. And we do well to remember that. God made a covenant with Abraham, and he has not forgotten it. Exodus 19:5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Peculiar treasure. So the last phrase here reminds us of this parable. The treasure was buried in the field, the way Israel was buried in the world. You know, everything that exists belongs to God. Everything. The entire universe is his creation and belongs to him. But he has a special creation, a treasured creation, and that is the Jews. He chose to treasure them, and they are right here on this earth. And God wants to bless his treasure. In fact, God wants to bless all nations of the earth through his treasure. But he has chosen to bless those nations, and he's chosen to bless us through Israel. It all centers on the hidden treasure, the nation of Israel. God wants to bless the United States. And it's important for the United States to be a blessing to the nation of Israel. God wants to bless us, but he will bless us through the nation of Israel. In 1948, Israel became a nation again. You know what preachers started saying in 1948? They started saying, keep your eyes on Israel. Keep your eyes on Israel. And then Israel has kind of gone up in the news and down in the news over the years. But you know what the preachers have still been saying? Keep your eyes on Israel. And Israel's not in the news right now, but let me tell you something. You better keep your eyes on Israel. We're talking about a tiny nation that is 8,000 square miles. Do you know how big 8,000 square miles is? Does anybody know how big, for instance, Logan County is? Anybody know how big Weld County is? Bigger. Weld County is 3,981 square miles. Remember, Israel is 8,000 square miles. Anyone have any idea how large Colorado is? Colorado is 103,000 square miles. You could put Israel inside of Colorado at least 12 times. Almost 13. 12 and a half times. Little bitty nation. You double the county of Weld and you have the size of Israel. Little bitty nation. But it's often the center of the news. Very often the center of the news. And it is truly the center of the spiritual universe. Someday the Creator will rule and reign on this earth. And do you know where he's going to rule and reign from? The throne of David, which is in Jerusalem, which is in Israel. Keep your eyes on Israel. Israel is God's chosen people, his covenant people, his hidden treasure. But Israel has failed. Israel failed. That's why Israel is the hidden treasure. It's not just God's chosen treasure, it is a hidden treasure. Israel is the treasure, the world is the field, but the treasure is hidden in the field. You know, back in the time of Christ, they didn't have banks, they didn't have the places where you could go and have a safety deposit box. They didn't have all of that back in the time of Jesus Christ. So do you know what people did to their treasure back in those days? They put it in a box and they hid it where nobody could find it. And sometimes people would hide their treasure and then they would go off to war and they might die and never make it back home to get their treasure. And then somebody else would come along, you know, maybe 100 years later, maybe 1,000 years later, and find that treasure that had been buried in the field. Now, if somebody found hidden treasure, they couldn't just lift it out of the field. If they lifted the treasure out of the field, it belonged to the person who owned the field. So this guy knows that. So he goes out and he buys the field so that he can then own the treasure that had been hidden in the field. He finds the treasure. It's hidden. And then he hides it again. And then he buys it. Are you following me? So now let's remember, the man is Jesus Christ. When Jesus came to the earth 2,000 years ago, what did he find? Hidden treasure that was lost in the world. Israel. They were in failure. Their golden era had passed. They were living under the iron fist of the Roman Empire. Their best days had been under King David and then under King Solomon. By far, their very best days were under King Solomon. And those days were far behind them by the time Jesus came. They had failed and they were hidden in the field. When Jesus came, the Jews were corrupt. Their people were poor and miserable and in bondage to the Romans. They'd once been a great nation, but now they were nothing. Under Solomon, when the Queen of Sheba visited, she said that she had never seen any nation so magnificent. And she said, and the half has not yet been told about it. It was indescribable for her. Those were the glory days. But those days no longer existed when Jesus came. When Jesus visited, it was not like that at all. When Jesus visited, the treasure was hidden. They had no power. They had no purpose. If they were a treasure, it was hidden from the rest of the world and hidden in the world. So for a time when Jesus walked the earth, he uncovered the treasure. He let Israel know their true destiny. Look at Matthew 12:28, where they're picking at him about casting out devils, and they're saying, oh, he cast out devils by the devil. You know, that's what the Pharisees were saying about him. Jesus said, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, though, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. The truth was, the kingdom of God had come unto them through Jesus. They rejected their king. They rejected Jesus. Matthew 13:15, earlier in our text here in the chapter we're in, says, for this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Some people say, oh, I feel so sorry for those Jews. Their Messiah came, but they just didn't recognize him. No, that's not how it went. Their Messiah came, and they chose not to recognize him. According to this verse, they willfully closed their eyes and they willfully closed their ears to the truth. They chose not to believe. So what did Jesus do with this hidden treasure? What does our parable tell us that the man did with the hidden treasure? He hid it again. He reburied it. He covered the treasure back up. Look at Matthew 23:37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. What happened there? They rejected him, and he covered the treasure back up. They are God's treasure, but they are a buried treasure. Point number three, Israel still has a future. Israel still has a future. That's a sort of a shocking part about all of this. The man not only wanted to buy the treasure, but to buy the whole field. In redeeming the whole field, he also gained the treasure. You want to know how God saves the Jews? Well, it's right here in this story. The same way he saved the world. He bought it with his blood. This is the story of redemption, the story of the cross. Jesus gave everything he had in order to buy the field to get the treasure. That's John 3:16, folks. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How does God save the Jews? The same way he saves the Gentiles, by grace through faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. God's not finished with the nation of Israel. Don't get me wrong. He's not finished with them. One day he will reclaim his treasure. And I realize there are some theologians who try to tell us that the church today is the modern day Israel. That's just false. I could go through several scriptures and prove to you that it is wrong. And I won't take the time to do that this morning. But God is not finished with the nation of Israel. Now, there was a pastor years ago that put an article in the paper about his upcoming sermon for that coming Sunday. And he said that this coming Sunday, I'm going to tell everybody how to destroy the Jews. That was the title of his sermon. How to destroy the Jews. Well, that caused some commotion in the town because there were a lot of Jews who lived in that town. And they were not happy about it. So next Sunday, the church was full. And sitting right in the middle of the church was the rabbi of the nearby synagogue. He had church on Saturday, so Sunday was free. And he was there for this. So the rabbi was loaded for bear. He was ready, you know, he's going to shoot this pastor down, ready for a fight. So the pastor stood there and said, "Today's main point of how to destroy the Jews is found in Jeremiah 31, verses 35 through 36. And so then he read it. "Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever." Everyone was amazed. The rabbi was grinning. A powerful point had just been made. Nothing can destroy God's people. Not killing all of the male babies like they did back in the Gospels when Jesus was born. Not burning all of their cities as the Romans did. Not putting them in gas chambers like the Nazis did, or concentration camps. Not nuclear bombs like Syria is threatening. None of those things can destroy God's people. So don't misunderstand. As special as God's people are, individual Jews are not saved any different from individual Gentiles. It is by grace through faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. He saved the world to get the treasure, and the world is saved by grace through faith. America needs to stand behind Israel. Did you hear me? America needs to stand behind Israel. And you need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We needed to pray for President Joe Biden. that he will be surrounded by men and women of godly counsel who will share the truth of God's word with him in a way that he will be able to act accordingly. Don't mess with Israel. Jesus gave all to purchase the whole field, including Israel and including you and me. God loves you. Stand with me as we close.